You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Aaron, always appreciate your time around here, and you're having an unbelievable season. Good God, are you having an unbelievable season. He's going to win the MVP of the league, and he looks a lot different than last year. I don't know if that's offense, or I don't know if he was just injured last year, because I've told you many times he's the best I've ever seen. But now I think Mahomes might be the best I've ever seen, but Aaron Rodgers this year has been better than Mahomes.
I mean, he called you friend before we started recording here. I mean, you want to take that Mahomes thing back? Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback in the game.
All right, man. We will ask him in a second, but I want to talk to him about what's going on in America, because we've seen this coming in some form or another. So, Aaron, thank you for making the time. Your reaction to what happened yesterday in this country was what?
Well, I didn't see it, to be honest, for a while. I'm pretty insulated to a lot of things just because I don't spend a lot of time on social media, thankfully, and I don't get a lot of my information from social media. But I was obviously aware after a few texts that something was going on. I don't know. I mean, there's just been such a weird time in our country, really, with the lead up to the election, all the fallout afterwards. You know, obviously there's stuff going on in Georgia, and then this. It's a fascinating time to be alive, and I think that it's such a time to really for people to come together in a time where I think there's so many things that can pull us apart, and one of them is this really identity politics, where I think people get so locked in to their belief system that they're willing to do something like this, which is, I don't know if crazy is even the right word at this point. It's just, it's bizarre. It really is. It's bizarre that there is people who are so on one side or the other and believe that their leader or their idealism or their ideology is the be-all, end-all, save-all for a system that, to me, has been broken for many, many years, and we keep doing the same thing over and over and over. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. At what point are the people going to wake up and realize it's not a specific person, whether it's Trump or Biden or Obama or whoever might be your political savior who's going to save this whole thing? It's changing the way that we do things, is changing how we look at our political system. In my mind, that's really going to change things, and not storming a Capitol and whatever was done there. I mean, I think I'll save some of my, you know, stronger comments for when this whole thing gets sorted out. But I think in general, we do have a problem with identity politics because there's so many things that are happening in this world that are not partisan. And for whatever reason, whether on purpose or not, I think both sides are using certain issues to further their own beliefs, their own politics. I think that's wrong. There's things that are right and things that are wrong, and they shouldn't be politicized by the CNNs and the Fox Newses, because all it does is enlarge confirmation bias, which is another problem in society, is that people are only watching partly because of the systems in place with social media and the algorithms, but they're only watching things that confirm their own bias. And so it only furthers to bring us farther and farther apart. That doesn't help anybody in my mind. And I think this is just another example of, you know, people who can be outraged if it's a, you know, a Black Lives Matter rally and then have no problem with storming the Capitol and or vice versa. If there's some sort of, you know, left wing something that's going on and people are, you know, letting that pass and then being, you know, on the flip side, outraged by this or leaving, making this okay. I just think it's ridiculous. Right is right and wrong is wrong. The destroying of property at all times, the storming of the Capitol, whatever happened there, you know, that's not going to fix things in my mind. What's going to fix things is understanding how the system works and changing the system.
Aaron, if that were Black people yesterday doing the same exact thing under the umbrella of Black Lives Matter, what is that video like today?
Well, I mean, I don't know if there's any video first. I think, I don't know. That's a tough one to answer because obviously, I think we have evidence of similar situations. So I think we just look at what's happened in other situations that are similar to what happened yesterday.
So how scared were you yesterday?
How scared was I? I mean, it's out of sight, out of mind for me. I don't live in DC. I'm not around that. I think I feel like I can see things without a political lens. So I'm not looking at this as furthering, you know, an opinion about the far right or the Republicans. We're furthering an opinion about the left and the liberals. I don't have an affiliation with either side. I think that whatever was going on before, during, and after is not the way to go about making change in this country. And I'm not for anything that was going on yesterday. Like I said, I'm for a conversation that brings people together and not identifying yourself as a certain political party as a means to justify behavior when the system itself is what's broken.
I don't know if you guys have felt the same thing I have felt here in the shipping container, but I have been insane with jealousy all season long because my beloved Aaron Rodgers, best I've ever seen, has run off with AJ Hawk and Pat McAfee, and it's infuriating, and it just fills me with like a rabid rage that every Tuesday on video he's there telling stories filled with confidence. He was our man, and he just left us like that.
In his defense, I'd also like to run away with those two.
Yeah, I know. But Aaron, you really hurt me there. Like if a weekly show, I'd still be on ESPN if you gave me a weekly show. They would have loved a weekly show with you.
You just had to get off of ESPN. Now I can become a regular for you, buddy.
Okay, that's all that nice. I needed to do. All right, so we'll be calling you a lot more.
I mean, you're a buddy.
I know. Be careful with Stugatz there. Can you tell us, though, on a football story, like what is the difference between you this year and last year? I'm guessing, and I've asked you this before, but you guys have to do all this machismo about I'm never hurt, I'm never injured. I'm guessing you were just hurt all of last year.
Look, I mean, 18, I was definitely banged up. I just think really, and this is not the normal speak for situations like this, but I spent the off season working on myself, and that included reading and meditating and mindfulness and all these words that people use. It's basically about quieting your surroundings and limiting the amount of crazy stimulations that I think keep people distracted and out of the present moment. And for me, that was the exact opposite I wanted to do. I wanted to become more present, to be more in the moment, be more in my body. And it gave me a good perspective on everything from the drafting of my successor to the twilight of my career these last few years. And everything changed around me. My relationships changed. My personal life changed. My enjoyment of football changed. I think all those things added up to, you know, to a perfect storm of really good play and a lot of fun at the same time.
I don't want to get into your personal business, so push me off here if I'm getting too close. But when I talked to Danica Patrick on a South Beach session, I found her fascinating, enlightening, and some of the things you're saying, I felt like she sort of brought you to. Maybe I'm wrong about that and being presumptuous, but I feel like you were guided toward a little bit of light that required your mind having more peace in it. So I don't need to know the details, and forgive me if I'm pressing too close on why your relationship broke up, but how helpful was she there in terms of guiding you to a place where you're made better by a relationship because somebody teaches you things that make you a better man?
Yeah, I think it's important in every relationship, whether it's an intimate one or friendships or coaches, to garner something from them. And I think there's a lot to be learned through our experiences, and we're products of our experiences, our shared experiences many times in those situations. And I'm definitely thankful for the time that we spent together. What I'm talking about is more self-exploration. And I think self-exploration by nature begins with the word self. And it was me really looking at my life and inside and finding ways to quiet my own mind. And that's something just like, your own spiritual practice or any type of practice you do, it has to start with self-motivation and really yourself. And I think the most important relationship we can have is really with ourselves. I think in order to be able to spread love and to spread positivity, you have to have a self-love. And it's not an egotistic arrogance. It's an appreciation for what you are and the perspective that I am thankful for everything that I am, everything that I'm not. And I'm not looking at those things that I don't have or am not or feel like I'm missing as desires and goals. It's more of an attitude of gratitude about what I am, what I have, and what I want to be.
Well, you have been on this quest spiritually for a while now, Aaron. I mean, the Dalai Lama, you've been on this path for a bit, trying to get to this point. The learning in the quieting of the mind and all of that stuff, like where did you happen upon it? Where did you find something that helped you, grow more? And you, because a lot of people could be hearing this right now. Oh, Rogers is out there. All this hooey about the mind and the spirit. Get out of here. It's about the physical. It's about the perfection of the craft. Like, you say what to the person? Get out of here. He's more at peace with himself. He's quieted his mind and he's better. That's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. That's their opinion. I'm not going to cancel anybody like this culture loves to do for their own opinions. I will say that until you've experienced those things, it's hard to speak on them. For me, I grew up in the church. And what that meant was I grew up in a monotheistic environment, a Christian environment. And that's what I knew. When I started to dive into Eastern religion, I found many things that ideologically I related to, I felt like. And in many of those practices, a personal practice of quiet or meditation or mindfulness is rooted in those practices. And I found that to be really freeing and positive. And the more that I did those and incorporated those into my life, the better I felt in the times where I wasn't meditating and I was interacting with people. And I feel like that all has allowed me to get in a lot better headspace. And yeah, it is different. You don't expect people to, in my position, maybe be talking about this, but to me, it's as important as eating the right way and taking care of your body and studying your playbook and everything. It's about the total health of a person. And I think in society, it's just until recently, especially for athletes, where you could even talk about mental health. And mental health is such a multifaceted issue. And I think at the root of it is the ability to quiet your mind, to have a practice of visualization. I mean, we're talking about a lot of the same stuff, and whether it's different religions or different mindful practices, it's about putting positive pictures in your mind. It's about manifesting the desires and the goals you have into reality. It's about speaking things into existence. And I just have found that those things are very helpful to my mindset. And if my mindset has changed and improved, how can you not expect it to have a carryover into what I get paid to do?
So you guys are going to laugh at this, but Aaron, like you, I have tried meditation. I want to try to become the best version of me that I could possibly become.
That is funny. That's
ridiculous. I have set the bar really, really low for myself, but here's the problem. Like, how do you get the noise to stop? I've tried meditation. I can't get the noise to stop. I can't get my mind to stop. So how'd you go about doing that?
Well, you know what? That's the beauty of the internet. There's so many different guided meditations you can go on that can, and you can just find one that puts you in the right headspace. There's apps you can download that help with meditation. There's a great app that I use a lot called Think Up, and I start, you know, many of my days with it. You can tape mantras and affirmations to listen to and to go to sleep by. There's a lot of sleep research about how your own hearing your own voice subconsciously, it calms your body, it improves your mental health. You just have to put in the time to look into those things. And a lot of us don't either have the time or don't think it maybe will work as much or get distracted or get disheartened if it doesn't work right away. That's how it was for me. I don't think you just start a meditation practice and the whole world goes quiet and you're able to start levitating. I mean, these monks who are, the Dalai Lama who wakes up and meditates 4 hours a day before he starts his day. I mean, it's a practice. It takes years to master, if master is even the right word to use.
So is quarterbacking, though. And one of the reasons I love talking to you is because you're going to be able to articulate this one for us, because the average person, never mind it, listening to this right now, but analyzing football on ESPN doesn't have much of any idea how hard it is to be Aaron Rodgers, how hard it is to play that position, and how noisy it can get if you don't have something like meditation.
Well, he makes it look so damn easy.
Yes, he
though.
Does make it look easy. So just for the audience, if you were able to frame this for the audience, and I don't know how you would do this, if it's a difficult sounding play call or what, but the amount of things that you need to remember, what is the most complicated sounding play in your playbook when you're in the huddle? What's it called?
Oh, man. I mean, last week we ran buzz right, tight, F counter fly, two scat, X slant, halfback flag, F China. And that was a fun one. And then you got to, work in the cadence into that because, we're doing some sort of double motion. So I like to go on a longer count usually. And then that play, I try and store in my mind that that's like kangaroo, which was an old concept that I ran for 13 years, which was basically X slant, Y post, F corner, Z under, halfback wide. So then I kind of fit those two together because it's a newer scheme. But in this scheme, we actually have a through route by the F, which is an old B line call. The halfback is running the flag. The Y is running the drag China, and the guy in the flat, the fly motion guy is running the wide route or the swing route. So there's like a translation that goes on first when you break the huddle, and then trying to time up the snap points on both of the motions. And you're just going through your progression. This one, thankfully, is a pure progression, which in the old West Coast offense, they were all pure progressions where you basically start with a one and finish with a check down guy.
Oh my.
In this case, you're starting with the X on the slant. And then you're going to the through, and then you're going to the corner, to the drag China, to the wide. So it's an easy progression, but getting there is some mental gymnastics for sure.
It's a quarterback sneak, right? That's a sneak you just called.
I just got aroused. Right?
You just called. That was just a quick. What is that? You're just handing the ball to one of those number 60s that they've given you recently in the backfield until they got you a running back this year.
Yeah, I like the easier ones, snug right, 14 Laird Oscar. I mean, that's a little easier.
What's that, Adams in the end zone?
I mean, I'm throwing it to Adams. He's going to have 1,600 yards in the last 16 games. You've never played better, correct?
I mean, I always think I'm playing better year after year just because the experience. It's never come together like this, I don't think. So it's hard to think of a time I was playing better. Now in 11, I feel like I played really, really good. That was, you never maybe expect to have a similar year to that just because everything kind of fell into place that year. But I've got 9 years of experience since then. So I just always feel like those are so valuable to me every single time I break the huddle or I'm standing on the sideline thinking about a 2-minute drive. I just have so many more things to go through, positive memories that helped me in the moment. And this year, everything really came together. Obviously, Devontae was outstanding and so many really important role players. And obviously, you put another star in the backfield, Aaron Jones. You know, we've just been so balanced on offense. It's kind of helped everything really line up.
I think that we have the space here now in podcast form where we don't have to rush this through sound bites, where you can offer the appropriate nuance to the audience that isn't just headline grabbing and stuff. The experience, when you say you have a new perspective and meditation has helped you, and you mention in there that, you know, them drafting my replacement and me looking at my career mortality, can you sort of take us through in the simple way that can't just be clickbaited, how much that hurt you as someone who is given that particular skill set and your willfulness to that city and that organization?
Yeah, you know, I've talked about this a decent amount. You know, like exactly what happened moment by moment. You know, I basically get a text from my agent. I hear it on McAfee's, watching his draft coverage that night. And then I went and poured some tequila, which I was, you know, sipping on, and just really settled into the night. And I think, you know, the next day was an important day for me. I called my quarterback coach. I got Jordan's number and I wanted to give him a call. Because I knew what he'd be going through, the excitement. You know, when you get drafted, it's such a fun time. And I just really didn't want to make it about myself. You know, I didn't want him to think I was anything but excited for him and fulfilling a dream, which I genuinely was. And I really was. And I think that set the tone for the entire offseason for me. All the work that I was doing really before that in February and March. And then I get my first chance to really put action to thought. And I think that was the beautiful first step for me to really feeling like I was in my body. I was able to live with that attitude of gratitude and to have the perspective. I mean, because there's really two perspectives you can have on that and two mindsets moving forward from that day. One is feel sorry for yourself, let the bitterness creep in, and any frustration of, like, you know, betrayal or anything, any term you want to, adjective you want to put on that. And the other is, man, I'm going to be thankful for the time that I've gotten in Green Bay, have a lot of gratitude for the moments, for the memories, for the friendships, for the wins, for the records, for the highlights that we've had, and just move forward knowing that I have the opportunity to be the kind of mentor that I want to be to Jordan. I have the opportunity to have my football destiny in my hands, and it's a beautiful thing. And that's how I approached it. I approached it every single day, you know, during that off season as another step in a beautiful journey of my own personal development of the mindset that I want to have and being the person that I wanted to be. And I'm thankful for that opportunity at this point. I really am. Oh, I think that's something that you might not expect to say, but it was, and I've said this many times as well when they've asked me, you know, people are like, oh, you know, people called at this point, you know, I was going to win MVP because they drafted him. It really had nothing to do with that. And I just want to make that clear one more time. My mindset did not change when they drafted him. The things that I was working on up until that point got put in my face for sure. And I was thankful that I responded the way that I was dreaming and meditating and thinking about responding.
Aaron, here is the one place, and I don't want to say I don't believe you, but where it is that I would say, and maybe you're totally changed on this front and you have outgrown sort of the vanities that come with, I believe, being a competitionaholic in your particular realm. But the guy who on draft day was passed on by the 49ers, the young man said, that he would make the 49ers regret ever passing on him with a good amount of bravado and ego, even as a young quarterback heading into the league because you wanted to play near home. I can't think that you would dispute that whatever that stirred in you in terms of insult or betrayal or whatever, that it would be absolutely motivation. Like, wait a minute, are you guys not familiar with how good I am at this? I'm about to show all of you how good I actually am at this, because you dare to underestimate somebody who has sculpted this skill to a level of perfection that has not been seen before me in this sport.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, Dan, and I appreciate it. I think that the slanting of it, though, I think it's too focused on the drafting of my replacement and not on my own personal ability. And I think that's where the big difference is that I never needed any extra motivation, but this gave me the opportunity to really take my fate into my own hands fully. Even though it always was there, I think the absolution of that truth allowed me to, I think, take final ownership of how I wanted to write the last chapter of this story.
Without getting too deeply in there, because we've never actually talked to you with any depth, because I've been afraid to get too close to some places that might be too personal about the stuff with your family. I just was curious when you mentioned a Christian family, Christian upbringing, and the idea that your thinking has expanded beyond that. And please tell me if I'm being too personal here. I would wonder if that's a conflict inside of a family that's not very easy to manage. Like that I wouldn't want that in my family. It seems very difficult to break away from.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what angle you're going with that question, but I think a lot of times, you know, in the environment that I grew up in, there isn't room for other ideologies within that space. I think that's the one thing about organized religion that I've always had a hard time with, is that a lot of the things that we talk about in religion are very similar. And I think at the core of so many of these ideologies is love and respect and compassion. But unfortunately, we have lines drawn that separate, a belief system, and it really makes it binary in nature, where there's a righteous and a sinful, or a right and wrong, just from the simplest forms, a heaven and hell, a protected and a unprotected, heathen and and holy. I think that always was hard for me to wrap my head around, and also a benevolent God who wants to send 90% of his creation to a fiery hell was something I just had a hard time with. And so when I got into this studying of some other ideologies, I mean, that's what I really, I think, gravitated towards was at the root. It was very similar to, like, say, the New Testament, Jesus's teachings. But I don't think that Jesus ever came to build a religion. I feel like he came with an ideology of love and compassion and connection. And those are things that I want to be about. It's just not in the context or the framework of an organized religion that was kind of the environment that I grew up in.
Aaron, you're a great quarterback. You're also pretty good at this speaking thing. So I'm thinking, like, listen, you should do a podcast. And I think Levitard has a network if you're interested in joining.
Oh, that's right. Aaron, are you? Wait a minute. I don't think you're a free agent in Green Bay for a while. But how's your deal with McAfee? Hey, can I buy some Aaron Rodgers time every week? What's your deal with McAfee? I think I'd like to get in the game
Or just have him do his own podcast.
Or write the check for Aaron Rodgers' podcast. Can we negotiate this on air?
I'm going to be a Tuesday free agent as of the end of this season, so we'll have some conversations.
Okay, let's go. We got to get Aaron Rodgers on the show before we get him out of here.
See you, Greg Cody.
Before we get him out of here, Aaron Rodgers co-host for 3 hours a day because we can laugh with him for a while as he's having another MVP season.
I'm thinking he either joins us or he does his own podcast. I'm happy to produce it for you, too.
We're going to let you go on this note, Aaron Rodgers. I want to ask you the question. I'm hoping that you can get us on ESPN as they cut this part out. And it's Aaron Rodgers saying something that ESPN now has to put on the air because he said it on the Dan Levitard Show podcast with Stu Gatz, because you're an actual real supporter of what we do and how we do it. So let me leave the space for this here. They will not have the context for it on ESPN. Let me give it a pause. 3, 2, 1. Aaron Rodgers, are you better than Patrick Mahomes?
I would say right now I got him in acting, and that's just because I got the experience, man. I got like 10 years to 2 years on the State Farm. So I know, maybe there'll be a slight little phase out. It's my time. as a discount double check guy is fading away, and him as the bag thrower and the catch up eater is kind of moving in. It's been a great run. I love State Farm. I love the partnership that we've had. And I feel like, you know, right now I still got a little more chops than Pat, but he's pretty damn good at that too.
Okay, good symbolism. We'll take it. I don't feel like we'll take it. That didn't get us on ESPN, that he's a better State Farm pitchman and we've got to read the code. No, like that's not – I was asking you about as a quarterback, not as a pitchman. You don't want any part of that?
Because I tell you what, I'm tired of Mahomes. You had the best season of your life. Everyone's talking about Mahomes, putting him in the Hall of Fame, calling him the greatest quarterback ever. And no, the greatest quarterback ever is Aaron Rodgers.
He's gone back to quarterback speak. We got to get him out of here.
Damn it,
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you for being on with us.
Thanks, guys. Can't wait to be back on. This is the real shit that I'm all about.
All right, let's do it.
Work,
yes,
man.
Every Tuesday,
we're going to steal you on your own.
We're going to steal you from that meathead McAfee and AJ Hawk over there. Come be with the intellectuals. Quit being with the meatheads. Let's go.
That's my family right now, man. I love those boys.
They're good people. Right. I'm here too.
We want to be a new family. Yes. We want to be your new family.
I love your family.
I love your family.
AJ Hawk has a massive neck.
You're my brother.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
All right, we love you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.